This evening, before we take the time to come and worship around the Lord's table, I want to draw your attention to a truth that's found throughout the Word of God. And that truth is the all-sufficiency of Christ. You and I live in a day today where men take great pride in their ability to be self-sufficient. It seems to be that one desire that we all have, and in some ways it's a good desire, when it comes to our families and when it comes to certain things in which we do. Yet the reality is that we need to be a people who learn that our sufficiency really is supposed to be of Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to take the time to consider again that truth of the sufficiency of Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. And I'll invite you to turn there with me tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, as we begin. Again, we live in a day in which men take great pride in their sufficiency. In fact, we live in a day when men take pride in the fact that they have pride. And the reality is, we as God's people must learn the wonderful truth and the importance of our sufficiency being in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Many believers are seeking to live the Christian life in their own sufficiency and in their own strength. In fact, I would say that many churches are seeking to fulfill their ministries in the very same way. We are seeking to do it in our own strength, in our own power, in our own way, and forgetting the truth that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. You and I, as a people, are prone to forget that truth. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we need Him for our sanctification. In this tonight, as we come and as we study together this thought, if you find yourself as one who believes that their sufficiency is of themselves, I hope by the end of our time tonight, before we come and we gather around the Lord's table, that we would understand that and be convinced of the truth that our sufficiency must always be of Him. And perhaps nothing points to that truth more beautifully and wonderfully than that which we see around the Lord's table, which reminds us of the sacrifice that our Savior made for us. Before we go and consider these thoughts any further, though, this evening, I'm going to bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Then there's three things I want us to see with regards to our sufficiency of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for our time together this evening. We thank You, Lord, that we can come and we can consider the truth of Thy Word, and this truth which reminds us that our sufficiency is of Christ. It's not of ourselves. Lord, there is nothing in and of ourselves that we are able to do in order to earn salvation. And there is nothing in and of ourselves that we are able to do in order to maintain that salvation and to maintain sanctification. Father, what we need is the Lord Jesus Christ working in us and through us each and every day. Father, I ask and pray tonight that You would help us as we prepare to gather around the Lord's table to remember His body broken and His blood shed for us. Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to remember that our sufficiency must be of Him. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for what You can teach us and remind us of tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as we begin to consider this concept of the sufficiency of Christ, the all-sufficiency of Christ, I want to see three things that will help us to remember that we must find our sufficiency in Him and in Him alone. Our sufficiency cannot be of ourselves. We cannot live any part of our days or our Christian life believing that we have all that we need in and of ourselves, but our sufficiency must be of Christ. The first thing that I want us to see together this evening is simply this, that Jesus Christ is sufficient to save the lost. When you and I consider our sufficiency being of Christ, it's important that we be reminded that Jesus Christ is the one who is sufficient to save the lost. The greatest need of all mankind is the need of redemption. Because of sin, man is brought into condemnation, and for eternity he will be forever separated from God and receive his punishment in the lake of fire. As one comes to grips with his own sinfulness, he realizes that there is nothing that he can do in and of himself in order to earn salvation. And there is nothing that he can do in and of himself to have the longing of his soul satisfied. When a person comes to realize that they need to be saved, they come to the very end of themselves. We often say it this way when we talk to someone who needs to be saved, that in order to get someone saved, you must first get them lost. We have to come to the very end of ourselves and realize there is nothing that we can do in order to save. We live in a world today filled with many religions, and all those religions teach that there is something that man must do in order to be saved. There is some work that he must do. Yet when you come to the Bible and you study the Word of God, it becomes very clear that our sufficiency for salvation is not of ourselves. There is nothing that we can do, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we come to the Word of God, we understand that for salvation, our sufficiency is of God. Man truly sees that God is the one who is able to save. And he understands that there is within him nothing that he can do. And by the way, how could there be anything sufficient of ourselves when the Bible says that all of our sin and all even of our righteousness is as filthy rags? I want to remind you of the words of Isaiah 64 and verse 6, in which we read, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as a filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." When a person comes to grips with there is nothing in and of himself that he can do in order to be saved, he is willing now to come and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we all fall short of the glory of God. And because of that falling short of his glory, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of that sin is death, but there is a wonderful gift of God in eternal life. You and I gather together tonight around the Lord's table, and what we're reminded of is this truth, that he is sufficient and he alone is sufficient to save. Man has to come to grips with the reality that not only he can do nothing to save himself, but he must also realize that nothing apart from Christ can save. There is nothing apart from Jesus Christ which can save. It is by his name and his name alone that men can be saved. The church is not able to save, or if it had the power to save, then how do we know which church saves? Consider that one. How many different religions are there in the world? If it's the church that saves, which church saves? Which form of religion saves? But it's not in the church, it's not in the power of religion, it's through Jesus Christ and him alone. Salvation comes to man because Jesus Christ died on a cross. He shed his blood, the just for the unjust, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that sin and death have been conquered. And Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 reminds us that it is Jesus Christ that is able to save to the uttermost. In just a few moments, we're going to gather around the Lord's table. And those elements that we partake of, that we see, which represent his body broken and his blood shed, are a plain reminder that Jesus Christ is the only all-sufficient one to save. He alone is able to save. There is nothing that man can do in order to earn salvation. Only his death and resurrection are sufficient to save. But you know, there's another truth I want us to consider tonight. Not only is he sufficient to save the lost, but Jesus Christ is sufficient to sustain the saint. He alone is able to sustain us. Jesus Christ is able to sustain us through the peaks and the valleys of life. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it tells us that in this world there will be tribulation, and Christ has come that we might have peace. What a wonderful blessing that now that we are saved, that there is one who is able to sustain us in this life. There is nothing that we could do in order to earn our salvation. It was by Jesus Christ and Him alone that we are saved. And folks, there is nothing that we can do within our own hearts and life that will keep us and sustain us in this present world. He alone is able to sustain us through every peak and through every trial and tribulation. I want you to turn your Bible with me, if you would, to Isaiah 43 tonight. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, I want to look at verses 1 through 5 just briefly this evening. We read these words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Lord promised His people Israel that He would forever sustain them and be with them. Some will look at that passage and say, well, Pastor, that's simply Old Testament and it speaks to the Jews and the Jews alone. And it does. But folks, there is a principle there for you and I to understand and grab hold of. That it is God that is able to sustain us. I believe we can take that principle because if you turn over in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul learned a very similar truth. He understood that it was Jesus Christ and Him alone that was able to sustain him in the midst of every trial and tribulation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that passage which Paul said, I went to the Lord three times and I besought Him to remove from me the thorn in the flesh. Three times I asked the Lord for that to be removed. And each time the Lord's response was no. And in it all, Paul was taught a lesson. And that lesson was this. Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And in your weakness, I will make you strong. What the Lord wanted to teach the Apostle Paul was that truth, that He is sufficient to sustain him in the midst of whatever comes within the life. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We assume always the good. We assume always the better. We assume always the prosperous. But you and I don't know what tomorrow holds. But no matter what comes into our life, no matter what we must go through, there is the promise of God's Word that Jesus Christ and His grace is sufficient for our every need. He is able to supply and help us. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. I love the words in Psalm 55 in verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Aren't you glad for a verse such as that? Peter said it this way, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a wonderful blessing it is that no matter what we face, no matter what burdens we are called to bear, we can find one who is able to sustain us, one who cares for us, one who meets our every need. We are to cast our burdens upon the Lord. He will sustain us. Beloved, we find not our sufficiency in ourselves to deal with the trials and tribulations of life. Our sufficiency isn't of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Again, tonight as we gather around the Lord's table, we see in Him one who endured temptation yet without sin. We see in him one who willingly suffered in our place and who understands our weaknesses. At times you and I will go through suffering, but none of our sufferings will ever compare to the sufferings of our Savior upon the cross. Tonight as we behold the bread which represents his body and that juice which represents his blood shed, we should be reminded that our sufficiency for daily life is found in him. He understands our weaknesses. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to go through trials and suffering. And the Bible says he knows our frames, that we are but dust. And he has provided for us himself that he can be sufficient for our every need. His grace is sufficient for us. Around the Lord's table, we're reminded of that sufficiency for daily life. Finally, tonight, I want you to see with me that he is sufficient to satisfy our souls. He is sufficient to satisfy our souls. Jesus Christ and him alone is able to truly satisfy every longing of a soul. Men today are seeking to have their souls satisfied. Men today are looking in every place and finding themselves to be empty. We live in a world that today is plagued with depression and despair. Men are finding, as Solomon would say, that all is vanity. Everything that the world offers leaves us empty and longing for more. It supplies for nothing. It satisfies not. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find one who is able to satisfy every longing of the soul. The world today is looking to be satisfied. Yet money will not satisfy. Material possessions will never satisfy. Relationships will never satisfy a soul. Fame will not satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 4 for just a moment. John chapter 4. I want you to see with me the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise to satisfy our soul. John chapter 4 this evening. I want you to look with me, if you would, to verse 13 and 14. John chapter 4, verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinketh of this water shall never thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. You remember the story, the Lord is there with the woman at the well. He is referring to the water of that well, and he says, anyone who drinks of that water, they'll never be satisfied. They're always going to be wanting more. But he who drinks of the water that I shall give him, referring to the water of everlasting life that springs forth from him, he who that is saved and has that relationship with Christ, they will drink of a well of water springing up within their soul, and they will ever be satisfied. Turn now with me just a few pages to John chapter 7 and look at verses 37 and 38. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to satisfy our soul. We must only need to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. It is Jesus Christ that is able to satisfy every longing of the soul. You know, sometimes within our life we go through periods that we would say are drought. We go through dry spells within our own spiritual life. We just don't feel as close to God as we once did. And I think if we would really examine our life in such times as this, we would find that the problem is not with Jesus Christ, the problem is with ourselves. We would find that we are like the people that Jeremiah wrote to in Jeremiah chapter 2. He wrote to the people there and he said unto them that God's people had committed two evils. They had forsaken him, the fountain of living waters. And they had hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that could hold no water. The problem that we have within our own life and within our own heart when we don't feel satisfied is because we have forsaken Him, the fountain of living waters, Jesus Christ, and we are living off of the cisterns that we have developed. We are seeking our sufficiency of ourselves. Here's the foolish thing that Jeremiah pointed out. Those cisterns designed to capture the rainwater, instead of drinking from a living, fresh spring, those cisterns designed to catch the runoff from the rain weren't able even to provide for their base needs because those cisterns were broken. They could hold no water. No wonder why the people of God were thirsting. No wonder why there was a longing. No wonder why we go through periods of drought within our own life. Because instead of finding our sufficiency in Christ, we are seeking it in ourselves. We want to supply for our every need. We want to take care of everything. And we don't look to Him at all. But folks, as we come around the Lord's table tonight, we're reminded of this truth. That's Jesus Christ alone who can save. That's the first need of mankind. And as we then enter into that relationship with Him and walk with Him, it is Jesus Christ that is able to sustain. And only Jesus Christ that will ever satisfy our soul. I go back to the verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Can I ask you tonight, in what are you trusting? To whom are you looking to find your satisfaction and your sufficiency? Is it in the things that you possess? The people that you know? A career that you have chosen? To what makes you satisfied? You can have all the money in the world and you'll never be satisfied. You can own the largest home and have all the things that the world has to offer. And Solomon had it all. And he said, I have learned that under the sun everything is vanity. There is nothing that satisfies. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. Our sufficiency is of Christ and Him alone. In just a few moments, we're going to sing and we're going to gather around the Lord's table. And we're going to partake of those elements which remind us that He died for you and me that we might be saved. The Bible tells us that He died that we might be saved, that we might have life and to have a more abundant life. The Lord Jesus Christ desires that you and I know a life of satisfaction. But our sufficiency for that life must be found in Him and in Him alone. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we're going to sing one more time before we gather around the Lord's table.